Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
The Bible, the Word of God, is the source of life. It is the Word that washes our minds and renew our minds and causes us to be able to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. The more we know God's will, the better life gets. At the beginning of the COVID virus, as a leadership team and pastors, we asked ourselves, what is God doing? And the answer was found in Hebrews 12, and we did an entire series about seven different messages on what was God doing. And we said it was the greatest opportunity to learn things because God was shaking what can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Today, we move forward in a new series called Rest. Actually, we started last week. But then the question now is not what God is doing, but what is God saying? What is God saying to us? And in light of this question, what is God saying, a few weeks ago, I came home. I received my copy of The Economist, and this was the cover. I said this to you last week. And I brought it home with me, and I threw it in the sofa. And the following day, looking at that the cover that says the globe, the world is closed, I almost saw in the spirit the word rest. And I felt like the Lord was saying, that's what I'm saying to everybody, is to rest, because you guys don't know how to rest anymore. I remember I said to you last week about Dr. Brian Duncan, who was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, an atmospheric scientist from NASA, who showed a picture of Beijing and Wuhan and parts of China and its level of air pollution, and how after the virus and after the whole atmosphere went to rest. That's what God's doing, and He's saying to all of us, rest. You're probably now seeing your own city has less pollution. I've heard friends say, finally we can see the stars and the moon and the atmosphere. Finally we can see the mountains around us because it's clearer. And more than just God wanting to give you or the atmosphere and animals and all of these plants and the skies rest, He actually wants you and I to have rest. And that's what the message from heaven is, rest. And last week we talked about part one, which is understanding rest. And today I want to talk to you about the King of Rest. We're busy people, whether you like it or not. And today, as busy as we are today, we have no excuse. Because God says, everybody, rest. I ascribe to you out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from His work. I pose the question, if God is God and He never gets tired or weary, which the book of Isaiah says He never does, then why did He rest on the seventh day? And I answered that question by saying, because God wanted to sit back and enjoy His creation. In other words, the whole idea of rest is to enjoy. To rest is to enjoy, and to enjoy is to rest. And that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to teach us how to enjoy being with Him, how to enjoy being one another. I made the point last week that if you went to bed but you didn't enjoy it, you didn't actually rest. The fact of the matter is, in Genesis chapter 3, God speaks about this curse. It's called the curse of restlessness. And we are a restless people. In some ways, when you look at that, this might very well be a curse that we're living in. We're so busy and so tired and so distracted that we don't know how to rest. Now, the question is, how in the world did this happen? The answer is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The story of God's creation. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And notice where it says God created. But down in chapter 1, verse 26, God says, after He said, I was going to create, I said, I'm going to create this, I'm going to create animals and planets and all of these things. He goes down to verse 26 and says, the word of Scripture changes. It doesn't use the word create, but it uses the word make. It was a different word. It was the Hebrew word asah, which means to advanced accomplishment. This is not just something I'm creating. This is an advancement. This is something different. This is something special. And this is in light of creating you and me, mankind. He said that this was not the same as all the other creations. The language of Scripture changes, where previously he says, God said this and God said that. And here he says, let us. It's no longer the single entity God, but the plurality of God, the Trinity, and saying God almost like thinking to himself and talking with himself, and says, let us make man in our image. Notice the words our and our likeness. And three times that word plurality of the person of God is repeated. The point being that God is saying, I want to make mankind like me, in my image, in my likeness. And that likeness is not the fact that you're just going to be a powerful God like God, but that you would be a God of relationship. God, who is a relationship with himself, made us to become relational people. Truth of the matter is, a lot of the atmosphere and animals and plants and the busyness of the world is because we don't know how to rest. When we're the ones consuming and consuming and consuming, the world around us is affected. And so God wants us, the pinnacle of his creation, to learn that we were made in his image, capable of a relationship with him, to enjoy him forever, the King of rest. The problem is we are too busy. The problem is we are tired and stressed, and more than anything else, we are often distracted. Not just busy, stressed, they were too busy, too tired, too stressed, and too distracted. The question is, why is that so? Why are we like that? The simple answer can be found in one word, and that word is the word corruption. We have been corrupted. Because of that corruption, we've lost our ability to be made in the image of God so that we can enjoy rest and to trust that God is working for us and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more for us, and that we don't have to be afraid and we don't have to worry. Psalms chapter 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. In other words, who am I going to relate to? And maybe you're not saying there is no God, but what you're saying is I don't have time for God, which is equivalent to there is no God. And it says they are corrupt. And their deeds are vile, and there's no one who does good. This is the problem. This is the issue. And then it says in verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind. He's looking at the entirety of mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. And he goes on to say in verse 3, all have turned away, all have become corrupt. Corruption. I have a question for you. As we go through this service, are there things in your life that you know have been corrupted? Are there areas of your life, your mind, your will, your emotions, your relationships, the way you treat people, the way you treat your body, the way you treat the things that God has given you and entrusted to you? Are there? And if there are, can you identify what they are? Because that is important. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse 3 of Psalms, all have been corrupt. Further, it says, there is no one who does good, not even one. In other words, we all need help. We all need a superhero to save us from this problem. The problem is superheroes are not enough to solve this problem, because this problem is what the Bible calls sin. And sin is not just something that you can take away with an avenger. You need more than that. You need God, who is your Savior. And his name is Jesus. Now, who exactly is Jesus? And why is he the King of rest? Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the God who made all of creation, who was invisible, whom we don't see. This is, Jesus is the exact representation and image of that God. The firstborn over all creation, in other words, the entirety of all creation, was made for him and by him. For in him all things were created. All things were created in him, for him, by him. Things both in heaven and on earth, everything you see physically and everything you see that you don't see physically or invisible, was created and was made for by Jesus. visible and invisible, the atoms you don't see, that every little thing that in the atmosphere, every plant, every tree, every shrub, every seed, visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, are all under the dominion and supremacy of Jesus. He alone is the Savior. All things have been created through Him and for Him. And that's why we love Him. Which of these images mark you the most is a good question to ask. Many times when you look at those words, rulers and authorities, are you a self-appointed ruler who no one can correct you? And you think that you're always the boss and you can always have it your way and whatever you say is the thing that goes? Or are you a self-righteous religious person that I do all the religious works and I really don't need God, or God actually needs me? There's people to believe that. Or a beast who does as he pleases. Now, some people live that way. They just do what they want to do. They say what they want to say. They hurt who they want to hurt. That's a beast. A beast will just bite you whenever he wants to. Or maybe you feel like a machine who does not know how to rest anymore. You just keep going and going and going, and the algorithms of your phone are the way you live. And that's why you're always tired. Down in verse 19 of Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in Him." In Jesus, all of the fullness of life, all of the realms of all of creation are put under His feet. And through Him, we have reconciliation. We are reconciled. He's able to restore all things back together again, including our sinful lives that have been corrupted and destroyed. He can reconcile all things to the forgiveness. And through Him, reconcile whether things on earth or things in heaven. How does He do that? By making peace through His blood. This is Easter. And it's blood that He shed on the cross. I asked you a while ago, are there things in your life that you know have been corrupted? And I asked you a second question, which image characterizes you the most? Is it a beast? Is it any of these? I want to pose a third question for you. Would you like to have a new life in Jesus and enjoy God's rest? As I close this segment on meditating on the Word of God, I want to tell you a little story in the Gospels about Jesus walking down a field of grain with His disciples. As they walked down this field of grain, Pharisees saw them. And the Pharisees in Mark 2:24 says, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Basically, they were questioning why they were taking grain on the Sabbath. They were actually just walking, and they found this grain and started to get some. And they were asking him, "What the Sabbath, this whole Sabbath day, the Shabbat," which is, by the way, that's the word rest in Genesis chapter 2, the absence of struggle. And then he said that was made, that the Sabbath was not made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What he's saying is, you know, the Sabbath was not meant to, was meant to serve man and not man to serve this religious belief. The Sabbath is not something that is a law that you're supposed to follow. The Sabbath was designed so that you can enjoy. It was the very goal of creation and the very reason why Jesus came, so that He could restore you back to the place of this rest. Sabbath. And then He goes on to say this amazing thing. "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." That's powerful. What He's basically saying is, "I am the King of rest." And He goes on and says, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, because I am, after all, the King of rest." He says, "Come to Me." In other words, it's not go to a particular day. He says, "Come to Me." The Sabbath is not, the idea of a Sabbath day was to test you and to teach you how to enjoy a Sabbath. Because if you can't enjoy one day, how are you going to enjoy a Sabbath every day? The Sabbath day was meant to be a practice. The Sabbath is, there's nothing wrong with having a Sabbath day, particularly if you're not used to enjoying resting in God. If you can't even set aside one day, how in the world are you going to set aside an entire day or an entire week or an entire month? It's the same with the tithe. The tithe was the 10% was not the entirety of it. It was a practice. If you can't even give God the tenth, how are you going to give him 100% of who you are? And so Jesus says, if you really want to have rest, come to me. Not to a Sabbath day. Come to me every day. All of you who are weary and tired and burdened, distracted and busy. And then he says this, I will give you rest. You will learn how to enjoy the rest of God. I love verse 29 where he says, take my yoke, the yoke upon you. The yoke was something they put on a cow, two cows so that they could journey together, or a horse so that they could walk together. It says, walk with me. Be in step with me. Take up my yoke upon you. And then learn from me. As you walk with me, you're going to learn how to enjoy this rest. You're going to learn how to depend on me. You take that yoke and start walking with me, and then you begin to learn how to live life, the rhythms of life, the patterns of life, when to let go of that phone, when to stop working and start eating and start resting. Then he says this, take my yoke, walk with me, and as you walk me, you will learn. And then he says this, for I am gentle. In other words, he's not in a rush. And you're going to learn how to live this gentle life of Christ and humble in heart. And then he says, finally this, you will find rest for your souls. I remember years ago, my grandmother, I'm a bona fide card-holding workaholic. I'm confessing. I learned these words the hard way. Thankfully. Now, I remember my grandmother, who was a devout follower of Jesus, who told me one day, Joey, if you don't know how to rest, one day you're going to end up with a forced rest. And you just might end up in some hospital bed, and because God's forcing rest upon you. When I remember that, she said that to me when I was very, very young. I'm 60, almost 63 now. And I cannot forget that day because I learned something that day. That there is such a thing as God forcing rest on you. And man, that could very well be what this whole virus situation is. It's because we don't know how to rest, God has to pull the trigger and teach us how to rest. Because he loves us. Because he cares about us. Because he wants us to realize that everything that we're putting our trust on is sinking sand. And everything that we are working for is not worth it. My question for you as I end this segment is, are you ready to receive the rest that Jesus offers? Are you ready to just go, Jesus, I want to receive your rest. I want to partake of your rest today. And he's asking you this question. And he's waiting for your answer. And as I close this segment and meditate, I want to pray for you. And ask yourself that question. Are you ready? God, I want to receive that. And you can follow after me. God, I want to receive your rest. I hear you, God, loud and clear. I hear the reality of the position I'm in. And I thank you for this opportunity to open my eyes to see that I need rest. And teach me how to rest even today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.